Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you might go friggin' nuts. It's the show that's so hilarious that you might William Shatner your pants. My very special guest is Suzanne Posel from Occupy Corporatism. I just came up with that today, you know, William Shatner your pants. I thought it was brilliant.
I hope I don't Shatner my pants throughout the show.
Yeah. You might get a Golden Globe.
Oh, right, because I'm looking for that.
Yeah.
I might actually beat that Israeli propaganda film, Argo.
Right. Well, anyway, what's on the news agenda for today, Suzanne?
Oh, boy. Well, we've got these school safety initiatives in all these schools here in the United States. I was going to say the UK.
Well, Suzanne, as soon as somebody mentions the word safety in a sentence, it scares the hell out of me right away.
Oh, you should be. But don't Shatner yourself. It'll be okay. In Arizona, the House Public Safety, Military, and Regulatory Affairs Committee has introduced HB 2555, which mandates that teachers, teachers' aides, professionals, and certain healthcare professionals can report, quote, potentially dangerous students to the police if they believe that the student is a threat to themselves or others. This
so
is some fun stuff.
This is like, what, the end of school discipline or something?
Oh, this is school discipline to a whole new level. You know where they used to paddle you? Now,
have you ever seen the movie The Class of 1999, where they got killer robots to be the teachers for the students?
No, I missed that one.
Yeah, it's a pretty lame film, but it's very interesting. Anyway.
That's probably what's... Well, over in Japan, they have robots teaching students.
Really?
Yes, they really do.
What, are they walking, talking robots? Like, Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto Teacher?
Well, they look like humans. They have this skin that looks human-like, and they have, you know, the cameras for eyes and everything, and they're able to speak. I don't think that they're completely autonomous. But they are teaching, I think, in elementary school.
Okay. Well, that's... if the merger of man and machine doesn't occur earlier. Well, anyway, continue with these safety programs.
And this is interesting because the House Representative John Kavanaugh is sponsoring this bill. And he swears up and down that nobody's going to get arrested. We just want to know about these potentially mentally ill children who might fall through the cracks. He doesn't mention the fact that Ritalin and all these other pharmaceuticals that they mandate these kids be on create violent or homicidal or suicidal tendencies.
It sounds like some kind of a Batman supervillain like the Ritalin.
It's terrible stuff. And they give it to children in near adult doses. And the other thing is, they're not quite sure in long-term studies what the actual effects are. And I'll give you an example. The woman who drowned her five children, Susan Smith, a couple of years ago, she was on a pharmaceutical antidepressant psychotropic drug. And after she killed her children, then they put on the label, may cause homicidal incidents.
Well, what I heard is that those drugs sometimes make you act out your nightmares in real time. And before that incident where she drowned five of her children, she'd been having recurring nightmares that her children were drowning.
She also believed that Satan had taken over her and that the only way she could save her children was to kill them and that she was possessed by Satan and the only way to save herself was to kill her. So she was asking for them to, you know, put her on the death penalty.
And they call marijuana the devil's drug.
Exactly. Well, there was an incident a couple years ago, I think it was in 2010, a 9-year-old boy who was under the care of his grandparents. He was disciplined by his grandfather that afternoon and that evening. Of course, he was on a psychotropic drug, and he shot both of them in the face while they were sleeping and then burned down the house. Never had a prior incident of violence before.
Yeah, they have this kind of instance happen all the time, and now it's what was it? Suicide is the number one cause of death in America, and you know, so many of those people that are killing themselves are on these psychotropics or SSRIs or serotonin reuptake inhibitors, I believe is the proper terminology. And of course, what are the government really freaked out about, and what are they charging at people with guns with? That's right, you guessed it, people that are trying to supply raw milk.
Oh, exactly. No, you can't have raw milk. You can't possibly have all the nutrients. They're introducing aspartame into milk
now. When was the last time you picked up a freaking carton and it says, warning, side effects may include homicide or suicide?
If I ever did, I would put that down immediately and not ingest it.
I mean, you know, I could just envisage some kind of a school milk program, you know, just like, give this to the kiddies, yeah.
Oh, probably, you know, probably.
Probably be part of this new school safety program.
So this school safety program that they're putting through all these schools, they have the SAFE system, which is a monitoring system that they're putting in Georgia public schools to protect the teachers and the authorities. And it's a network that provides a live feed from the site and monitors through stations so that first responders can act accordingly. And it has real-time information, which is accessible across the internet, delivered on computers, laptops, smartphones, tablet devices, to prevent all of these critical instances that may occur.
Why don't they just arm the teachers?
No. See, Wayne LaPierre from the NRA suggested that, and that's just crazy. However, the Obama administration is giving grant money to schools to hire private security firms to securitize the schools.
Will they be armed?
Yes, they will be, but armed in a way that the general public is not allowed to be. With assault weapons and high capacity magazines, things like that.
Right. So just in case you need to have a school massacre, you've got it on tap.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Well, let me just see if I've got this right. Teachers who prevent mass shootings by shooting the assailant because they've got a concealed carry, bad. Massive slaughter on students by other students who ignore gun ban rules and kill a whole bunch of disarmed people. Very bad. Massive thug-like police state measures with turning schools into prisons and having guards with semi-automatic weapons around. That's good.
Yes. Because we want to facilitate education instead of a peaceful place where these children can be indoctrinated.
Do they have like a postgraduate study where, you know, you graduate from school and then you go to prison to study how it's really like to be a proper prisoner?
You know, there was a study that was done in the 70s. This gentleman decided to take average people and put them in prison. And the study was supposed to be for, I think, a couple of months, maybe even 6 months. It only lasted 2 weeks. They split up the people into guards and prisoners. And immediately the guards became sadistic and became torturing the people who were prisoners. And people had to leave. People had to be escorted out. There were huge, massive uprisings. People behaved in ways that they never would have behaved before, and they ended it after 2 weeks because they realized it was dangerous to even conduct the study.
Well, I think if we were to put that into it, well, hold on a second. Why after that study did they not go, hey, hold on a second, just normal prison environment turns the guards into sadistic, psychopathic scum? Maybe it's not such a good idea to be incarcerating like half the population of the United States.
I agree with you, but then most of our prisons are privatized, and that's a huge profit margin, and we don't want to take money out of their coffers.
I think that if they are getting money into their coffers for turning people into sadistic psychopaths, doesn't that go against their mandate of taking sadistic psychopaths out of the general population?
Normal logic would dictate that, but I'm sure there's some sort of spin that, that makes normal logic throw out the window.
You just can't make this stuff up. It's fucking irritating. Hey, well, luckily we're talking about bad news today. I mean, if we were talking about good news today, everybody would just switch off. And I was like, oh, I can't handle this.
Right, no.
Holy cow. I mean, is it not obvious to everybody that the world is run by criminal sociopathic scumbaggery? I mean, you can't look into anything without seeing the symptomology there.
I know. I wish I could write a happy story. I'm told all the time by, you know, some of my family members, why don't you write something positive? Give me something positive to write about.
Yeah. You know, and another person said today, you know, you got to talk about solutions solutions. Right. There's a huge quantity of criminal sociopathic scumbags running everything, and somebody wants me and or you or other people in the media to come up with the solutions. Hello, that's not our job here. Our job is to show you what the problems are. You're the public. You're the ones who now have the information which we've provided for you. Go out and solve said problem. Our problem is trying to get the information out. Your problem is the ones suffering under the massive system that we're talking about here. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, the
role of the media has never been to provide the solutions. It's meant to more clearly define the problems.
Well, that's symptomatic of this idea that we've been conditioned to only go by what people tell us, and therefore we don't even understand how to fix our problems anymore. You know, if you have any issue, it must be psychological, and you go to a psychiatrist and they put you on drugs, and your problems are solved. If you have any social problems, then you go to some website and you get some dates, and there your problem's solved. If you have other problems, you watch TV and you go buy some stuff, and your problem's solved. But the problem is that the problem is still there. You're just masking it. All the solutions that have been put forth to us are just Band-Aids. And we still have the same problem. We're still depressed. We're still upset. We still don't perform to our potentiality. And nothing ever changes.
Well, you know, apparently men can take certain pills in order to improve their performance. But
but if it lasts for 4 hours, you might want to go to a hospital.
Yeah, it's true. Look, I also was thinking about this morning, is that people have got this hero complex, and they expect somebody else to solve their problems. And as you're saying, you know, if you feel that you're going a little bit nuts or whatever, and you go to a psychiatrist and they give you a pill, you know, are there actually people out there who still really believe that there's a pill for every ill? And more yes. to the point, where is the advent of therapy in all of this? Because as far as I know, most of my emotional problems or psychological difficulties and things of that nature have been resolved through talking, expressing, and understanding what is actually really going on, and then that's its own solution itself. Is not, you know, being frustrated and wanting somebody to distract you from these problems that you've got, but actually really talking about them and then coming to understand them. And once you reach that level of understanding, the problem seems to disappear and dissipate.
Yeah, it's called vetting. You know, or venting. I'm sorry, not vetting. It's called venting. Women do it all the time. That's what we have our friends for. I call up a friend of mine and I talk to her for a couple of hours and I feel better.
Yeah. Well, you know, and there really is nothing wrong with that, provided you're a woman and you're venting to another woman. What I've found is very interesting is some of my mates, you know, their missus will come home and she doesn't have any friends, so she vents at him. Men don't like listening to venting a lot of the time.
No, they don't.
we're just not wired that way. You know, we're solutions oriented. Venting is not kind of our thing. It's just like, well, the first thing a man does is going, well, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? How are you going to solve this problem? You know, we're problem solvers. We don't recognize the whole need to just vent and get it out and things like that.
Oh yeah, my husband. Yeah, because if I bring a problem to him, he offers a solution, and he doesn't understand that I just want to talk about it. I'll deal with it later. Right now, I just want to talk about it.
See, and the men don't understand why the women just want to talk about it and not solve it.
Because it's on to the next thing for guys, right? Okay,
yeah.
There's a problem. I solved it. Now what's next? I got my toolbox. Yeah. What can we fix?
I mean, men are the social Illuminati. We see a problem, we have a reaction, then we propose a solution.
That is true. I see that. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. Now, incidentally, I think this is why men predominantly wind up being in politics and being the top of major corporations and things like that. Because when they come up with this country's got this problem and that problem, the men go out and we're going to solve it. We're going to destroy those bad terrorists or whatever. And then the women will just go, we just need to vent and talk about it for a long, long time. And so naturally, the world gets a hell of a lot worse because people are trying to solve problems that they can't solve because they're men and they're stupid. instead of just venting like they should. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Yeah. Tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh, yeah. Sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
Oh, that's what you mean. You mean it's business time. Oh.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that is done while wearing business socks. My very special guest is Suzanne Posel, and we want to take some callers now. I know I don't take callers very often, and I'm very sorry. I just normally, have new guests on and stuff like that and whatever, but we'd like to hear from the listeners now. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. You want to get on air with myself, Vinnie Eastwood, and Suzanne Posel of Occupy Corporatism. Speaking of Occupy Corporatism, I was talking yesterday, with, what the hell is his name? Bruce Montalvo in Los Angeles, and we got to chatting on his show, and he was bringing up all these articles from Occupy Corporatism. And,
wow.
Yeah.
I'm famous.
Yeah, very famous. Famous indeed. And I was just quite taken aback and also quite pleasantly surprised that he was doing that. So, yeah, Suzanne Posel, everybody loves her. She's so nice. She's so friendly. She got the cackle. See this? See, there it is. All right, come on, callers, where the hell are you? 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. We'd really love to hear from you today. And also in the second hour, James Wright from Occupy Freemasonry is going to be coming on the show, telling us about how his life has been going. It's been rather scary as heck, indeed. There's a recent assassination that's happened in the UK that he's going to be talking about. Some person who actually appointed him as his successor in terms of diplomatic documents and things of that nature has just been killed, and there is no media attention on it. He was also locked up in a mental institution and what have you, been forced to watch Christina Aguilera Disney movies and strapped to a chair, forced to watch Sesame Street. If anything is going to make you go nuts, do not go to a mental institution under any circumstances. Anyone there by choice, OK? Okay. The New World Order, Freemasonry, Illuminati, scumbaggery, whatever you want to call it, we're trying to get him, permanently disabled, you know, psychologically, physically, that kind of thing. It's a really terrible thing. So he's going to be coming on in the second hour, that's assuming he isn't assassinated first. Now, we've gone over the school security. It was very interesting how that first segment went, wasn't it, Suzanne? We went over from school security to how our schools are actually really prisons and how men and women just don't really listen to each other. Now, I don't know where to take this from here.
I've got a good article that we can talk about.
Sure.
The VA writes letters to U.S. veterans, Second Amendment rights revoked per 2013 NDAA. That went up over the weekend, and it went viral, so check it out. The Michael Connelly, the executive director of the United States Foundation, received U.S. veterans letters from U.S. veterans from the VA, telling them that a determination of incompetency will prohibit you from purchasing, possessing, receiving, transporting a firearm or ammunition. And if you knowingly violate these prohibitions, you will be fined, imprisoned in pursuit of the Brady Handgun Violence Prevention Act. And now I talked about this because what a lot of people don't realize is when Obama signed the 2013 fiscal year National Defense's Authorization Act, the NDAA, there was a little provision in there. There was a little amendment championed by Senator Tom Coburn, which would deem veterans mentally incompetent. And now the VA and the Department of Defense, who is overseeing the VA, is now saying that these people, it was okay for them to shoot guns when they were serving. But now that they're veterans, because they maybe got hit in the head too much, they have TBI, maybe because they were encouraged to say they had post-traumatic stress disorder, which is something that a lot of veterans are being encouraged to say on paper. Go ahead and sign off that you have PTSD, and then you are mentally incompetent and you can't own a gun anymore.
Right. You know, this this reminds me of the Bill Hicks sketch about gays in the military. He says, anybody dumb enough to want to be in the military should be allowed in. I don't care how many push-ups you can do. Put on a helmet, go sit in that foxhole, we'll tell you when we need you to kill somebody. You know, where the military get off, and, oh boy, we are the military. Is that a village of children and kids? Where's the napalm?
Well, now the problem is
kind of moral justification. Let me continue on. I'm not going to continue on with the Hicks thing, but here's the problem. Veterans have seen war, okay? Grunts who have not even so much as fired a gun at a live target have no idea what it's like. No freaking idea. They still believe that their government is, looking out for the best interests of the people. When, on the other hand, you are in combat situations where you are killing women and children, you have a massive psychological test that comes on you. That test is basically, do you actually care that you're doing this to people, or do you not? If you don't, you usually go back into service. You know, you keep killing. But if you do care, you get really badly traumatized. You come home and you don't want to go back. And then the Department of Defense puts a blank mark on your record saying that you're a pedophile or a thief or a liar or some BS that they make up, which is put in these little employment codes, I think, which employers are allowed to look at. And so Basically you find out if you're a veteran with a conscience and you come back, you can't get a freaking normal job pumping gas after you've been trained to use million-dollar pieces of equipment and drive around tanks and fly helicopters and things like that. And apparently you're not good enough to pump somebody's 91 unleaded. So that's what's happening here. No wonder all the veterans are being discriminated against. Who do you think are the most likely people to help a revolution or something of that nature in terms of the local indigenous population of the country, who will militarily school them and lead them in a military campaign against their oppressors, namely the government. It'd be the veterans, wouldn't it? Because they know the very reasons why you don't want war. They'd know the very reasons of the trauma that gets suffered from it.
Right, and they would be the first line of defense. They were trained in tactical operations, so when the military shows up on your streets, they would be able to combat anything that happened. Absolutely, they want to get rid of these guys.
Yep, they do a whole lot of different things. And traditionally, that's what happens, really. Returning veterans are the scariest thing for a government because they know how they think, right? Absolutely. Just like a... what's this? Wasn't there some kind of a cop who went on a shooting spree and managed to kill another couple of cops just recently?
Yeah, that was Christopher Dorner.
Yeah. I keep mixing him up with Jeffrey Dahmer for some reason. so you know, if you've got somebody who knows your tactics and things like that, they're actually quite a big threat to you if they're not on your side anymore. You know. They can set up ambushes, and because they know how you'll operate and the methodologies by which you'll go into particular areas and things like that, they can set you up. They can booby trap. They can do all sorts of very, very nasty things that will quite likely have an enormous military effect in balancing the terms of the next engagement. And they don't want that at all. And by the way, there's been a lot of people talking about fear-mongering and people being encouraged to have violent revolutions in the street and things of that nature. That is the absolute last resort. Don't encourage it. Avoid it like the frickin' plague until you have no other choice. Once you're being fired upon... Okay, as an innocent person, I say frickin' return fire. Until then, no violence of any kind. Get the information out there, all right? The pamphleteers back before the Revolutionary War started were legend. People were like reading the pamphlet like 400 times or something. It's insane.
Well, that's the problem we have here in the alternative movement, and we talked about this on the phone last night, the infotainment industry of the alternative movement, it's all for show. And
didn't we want to start a new website, infotainment.com?
Yes, and maybe, you know, prominently display some of these people. And some of these people are calling for violence, and they think it's funny, they think it's cool, you know, but listeners are sometimes encouraged because of this bravado that and they're in these rock stars in the alternative media make themselves out to be bigger than they really are, and somebody might actually do something based on what they're listening to every single day.
Yeah. And again, I gotta say, until you've actually seen the violence, if you have seen war, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. Veterans do. That's why a lot of them don't go frickin' back, because they never want to see it again. And you think all of a sudden that they're going to be hungering for war in their homeland amongst their homes and their family and their friends and stuff? Hell no.
No, and we've got an executive order that was signed last year by Obama. The executive order is improving access to mental health services for veterans, service members, and military families, where he outlines that these veterans that are deemed mentally incompetent now have to go to these pre-approved from the DOD existing mental health services and substance abuse prevention programs, education and outreach programs that are approved by the DOD. And then they have like these psychiatric parole officers where they have to check in once a week or once a month just to make sure that they're still sane.
Mm.
Take their drugs, you know, that they've been prescribed.
See, that's interesting. What percentage of military personnel are currently on psychotropic drugs?
I don't know. I would assume that it's quite high. I know a lot of veterans who are encouraged to say as they're leaving that they have some form of mental deficiency because of their experience in combat, mostly post-traumatic stress disorder. That's like the big catch-all. And so then they can receive all of these benefits. So they're encouraged to say that. But like you said, once they do that, it gets filed away, and now they're using it against them. Oh, well, you're crazy. You know, you could snap at any moment. You've got PTSD.
Hmm. Okay. I don't like the whole idea of labeling somebody. Okay, an individual's an individual, and they're complex organisms, right? So they've got a whole bunch of things that they will do, a whole bunch of things that they won't do, and you won't know until they do it. So to label somebody as post-traumatic stress disorder, who made up that term, by the way?
I don't know, but whoever did should be hit over the head so he has TBI.
I think that's a little OTT. it used to be called shell shock.
Yes.
Back in the day. And I'm sure it was probably called something before then, before the use of shells. It's just war. It's conflict. People don't deal with it very, very well. It changes people. Okay? It has damaging, long-lasting effects on the psyche, on the consciousness, and so on and so forth. Would you agree?
Absolutely. You can't go and be trained. I'm an Air Force brat, so my father was in the Air Force for a very long time. And when you go through boot camp and you're trained, and then you're trained to be in combat situations, and you do what you feel is right for your country, you're doing things that you wouldn't normally do in everyday life. And then when you're released, you're spit back out to regular civilian society as if nothing ever happened. And the problem is that, yes, they do need help, and they do need mental health care, and they do need some deep decompression time in order to go from that to normal life. But they're not given that. They're given this label, they're demonized, and now they're having their Second Amendment rights revoked because, like you said, they're going to be the first line of defense if martial law does get enacted in the United States.
Mm. Yeah, I was thinking about this as well. Could you, as a government, let's say you had just cause to go to war, and there hasn't been one of those in quite some time, and yet war's been fought continuously since. If you had just cause to go to war, and then you have returning veterans, what about an adjustment program? Okay, you've been here, you've done that, and now we need to adjust you back into normal life. We want to show you that Vietnamese children are not a threat, so don't throw grenades at them in the street. You know, that kind of thing. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only Fukushima irradiated. Yeah, everybody got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. My very special guest is Suzanne Posel. Next hour, we're going to have James Francis Wright, the most significant Freemason whistleblower in history, I think it's safe to say now, and his publisher, I've been made aware just by James that is listening in, and anybody who wants to purchase a copy of James Wright's book about the ritual and occult abuses of Freemasonry, of homosexuals and what have you, just go to newfalcon.com, as opposed to Millennium Falcon, newfalcon.com. And purchase his book. And if you mention this show, the Vinnie Eastwood Show, you will get it personally autographed. How about them apples? So newfalcon.com, Freemasonry and Ritual Occult Abuses by James Francis Wright. And you mention the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com on your purchase, you will get a signed copy of that. Now, what were we talking about before, over the break? Oh, yes. SpaghettiOs killed the radio star. Now, there's a whole lot of people out there who are prepping, okay? And there ain't nothing wrong with being prepared. Ain't nothing wrong with being prepared. However, I believe that there is something wrong with being absolutely freaked out that somebody's going to be busting through your door at any moment. okay? And also I see this happening in a lot of different radio shows. You'll have people call up and they will ask the radio show host or the guest or somebody with knowledge, when do you think this might happen? When do you think, you know, as if the timing frickin' matters. All right, I can assure you the timing, it does not matter. Simply having an awareness of something, like I'm operate under the assumption that at any moment, sure, a black uniform scumbaggery New Zealand police officer slash agent slash Freemason slash Illuminati Satanist child sacrificing blood drinking scum could come through my door at any minute and put a swizzle stick up my Japs eye. It could happen, but I'm not going to worry about it day after day after day after day, because that would make me afraid. That would make me paranoid. And you know what happens when you're afraid and paranoid? You stop doing things, which is precisely what they want you to do. Inaction is the most dangerous thing in this movement. You can beat these people so long as you do something, anything, against their agenda on a daily basis. Do anything at all. Just talking to other people about this and having them call you a conspiracy theorist and explaining to them that a conspiracy is two or more people coming together to cause harm on a group, on two or more other people, whatever, without that group of people knowing about it, which happens all the time, and that the term conspiracy theorist was popularized by Richard Milhouse Nixon. It's what he called Woodward and Bernstein over the Watergate affair before he was found out to be part of, that's right, a conspiracy. It's a demonizing term. If you just keep telling people the truth, don't go over the top, though, and get uber angry and fly into a rage like I am now. That's not a good idea. Because you just switch them off. You might click them on, but never mind. It depends on the mentality there. But still, stinging in the same BS day in, day out. You know, it's the same reason, Suzanne, why I don't read too many articles or watch too much video or listen to too much alternative media talk radio anymore. Namely, because I'm just doing a hell of a lot myself and I don't really have time for it. Secondly, it's because I don't even need to stay up to date with how messed up things are. You know, I know things are bad, worse than bad. Things are fracked in every single possible conceivable way. But if I knew, well, I already know, but if I was trying to get even more explicit detail about how messed up I am and how bad society is and how terrible things are going, I think I would lose traction and I would stop moving forward. I would stop moving at all. It's not a good thing.
It's very overwhelming. It is. When I write these articles, it is very overwhelming. What motivates me is that I want people to know how important this is, to understand that the safety in our schools goes back to DHS and how they put all of these initiatives together, and through grant programs, they're paying the schools to go ahead and lock down and villainize your children even farther. I want them to know that. I homeschool my son. There's another reason why I homeschool my son, because I don't want him to be involved in that. That's an action that we can take. Get your kid out of the friggin' school.
Yeah. Stop and turn off the friggin' television.
We don't even own one.
Yeah. I mean, this is something I've noticed with a lot of truthers as well, is that they're literally getting rid of the freaking TVs. Now, I'm not like that, though. I don't watch TV. I surveil enemy communications. You know what I'm saying?
That's an awesome way to put it.
Because they insert stuff all the time into television shows and the news and things like that. And I'm not freaking watching like six, 8 hours television a day like the average American does. Far from it. But still, I like to remain plugged in, and that's what I'm comfortable with and things like that, because I can see what's happening. I know what's happening. And the thing about subliminals is that if you realize that there's subliminals in it, they no longer work on you. If you are unaware of the subliminals, on the other hand, They can have a remarkable effect, more than you'd believe. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. You've got to keep your head about you, ladies and gentlemen, okay? Just because, look, I've got this saying, don't worry, it's just the end of the world. You know?
Yeah. As long as you're prepared. You know, like when I was saying on the break, I'm from Florida. Every year, for 6 months out of the year, we prepare for a hurricane, whether or not it comes. You got to have your batteries and your water and your food and whatnot. And if it doesn't come, at least you have all these provisions and you don't have to go shopping for a couple of months. You got all this food. So, you know, don't worry about it. If it happens, you'll deal with it. I've been through every category hurricane you can imagine, including Category 5, which completely devastated the whole area that I lived in. We had to move, several cities away, and it changed my entire life. But you know what? I dealt with it. And everything I owned fit into a little box, and that's fine. You learn to deal with it. So if you're going to be preparing for this, and if you're listening to people and reading articles and watching documentaries that are scaring the hell out of you, you can always turn it off.
Yeah. And I recommend doing that from time to time. Like I do that pretty much every weekend. I will turn off my computer and things like that. I won't talk conspiracy. I won't do any of this stuff because my brain needs a break from fear and destruction and stress and work. You know, and all of us do. But here's the problem. When you work in a slave job, as I know many of the listeners do, and just remember, when I call it a slave job, I'm not meaning, you know, that you're slave scum or anything like that. I'm just you know. It's really, really tough when you come home at the end of the day from doing something that you hate for people who don't respect you, and the only thing you've really got to come home to is fear and distress, okay?
Yes.
You know, you've got to find some kind of a way of relaxing and dealing with it, okay? It's all very well being informed, but if you're not informed enough to know how to balance your own life systems, then what good is the information?
Absolutely, and if it doesn't encourage you, inspire you to act, the information is being lost. We have a motto in our house that we tell our children all the time, now that you know better, you have an obligation to do better. So now that you know what's going on, what are you going to do about it?
What was it? You said something there. I got this old saying as well, because you can do that not only with the information and discern with it, but you're also going to do that with your social circles as well. I do not hang out with anybody who does not encourage me, inspire me, or enlighten me. Okay? I just don't do it. There's 7 freaking billion people on the planet. I don't have to do it. Even if I mean, what am I going to do? Run out of enlightening, encouraging people? It's not going to happen. It's not physically freaking possible to meet that many people. And even then, when you do meet so many of those people, you suddenly realize, oh my God, I'm surrounded by people who are really cool and really happy and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, this really scary information seems to vanish. You still know it all, and you can still discuss it all, but when you do discuss it, you're happy that you're being able to talk about it with somebody else who knows what the frack is going on, and you don't have to placate them and treat them like they're a child and try to explain incident by incident what is really going on to people. That can be really freaking irritating.
Yes. I'm interested personally in the nature of reality. That's why I had Max Egan on my show, and I want him back on, because perspective is so important. And if we understood, like I was telling him, whoever is looking out of these eyes is the same, whether I was 4 years old, now I'm 35, my body is changing, but I'm still the same. And that fascinates me. And because we have to understand what that phenomena is, then we can understand the nature of reality, and we can understand how powerful we really are.
Yeah. And I think that what's really missing in a lot of conspiracy talk radio is just talking about the nature of reality in and of itself. You know, I see so many people, it's just article after article, video after video, incidents of scumbaggery after incidents of scumbaggery. I mean, this is the reason for my theory of fractal scumbaggery. Like, with the fractal universe theory, you know, you'll zoom in on something and it'll start to replicate right underneath the microscope, and then you zoom into what replicated, and it starts to replicate again and again and again. Fractal scumbaggery is a very similar thing, where you look at an instance of scumbaggery and more scumbaggery comes to light, and then you look at that and more scumbaggery comes to light, and so on and so forth. It's an infinite circle. Don't get trapped on the merry-go-round. Suzanne Posel, thank you very much for coming on. We'll see you again sometime.
Yes.